So welcome, everybody. I am here with Danielle Dow. This is a podcast for really passionate women, entrepreneurial women, even stay-at-home moms that really have a drive and a passion in life to really focus on their purpose, their healing, and diving into what it means to be your whole self. And so we've got a special guest today, and I have a huge smile on my face if you're listening to this, because this special guest is actually one of my dearest and closest friends. So this special guest, her name is Alyssa Cohen. Alyssa is a mom to three absolutely phenomenal kids. She's a somatic therapist, a true healer. You know, she's helped me heal through our friendship, which is quite amazing. And she's been working in the field of holistic health for over 25 years. Her somatic approach to healing is one that helps people with chronic dis-ease. I'm reading some of this from her website. So she's got the word dis-ease in two parts, because it's just that. It's us not feeling at ease with our true composition, our true way of being that we're meant to be in. And she helps people with pain and trauma. So it's this is really deep stuff, folks, and I know the people listening are ready to hear this. They're ready to explore these topics. And Alyssa has also created what's called the Life Transformation Intensive, and I'll let her tell us about that as well. So in today's topic, we're looking at meditation as medicine. How can we use meditation as a healing, as a treatment for ourselves? And personally, meditation has been one of the biggest components in my own transformation and healing process. But this podcast is not about me. It's about us hearing from Alyssa, and really all three of us with Danielle talking about our journey in meditation and how we use it as medicine. So
Alyssa, welcome. Welcome to our podcast. We're so happy you're here with us.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with both of you and to talk about meditation, you know, which is something I'm so passionate about. And, you know, when I hear from people who come to talk to me often say, well, I tried meditation and, you know, it helped me relax a little bit, but it didn't change my world. And this is something that I hear frequently, especially because, or, you know, I'm a little calmer when I meditate, and, you know, maybe I'm a little bit less irritable. But, you know, that most people who pick up a meditation app, and there's amazing meditation apps now, you can be led, you know, by so many different people, so many different choices. So people, at a time that people have so much access to meditation, the way I see it, there's a gap between the initial benefits, which people can achieve by learning how to slow their minds and, you know, those basic things, becoming calmer, maybe sleeping better, you know, just generally feeling a little bit better. But for people who have, you know, in more intense struggles, how to take that, you know, 15, 20 minute meditation app and actually make it into something that could be a form of medicine, there's quite a gap there. And so I hope that maybe we could talk about that, because I think at this point, probably you're, you know, listeners will be a bit familiar with, you know, the more accessible benefits of meditation, because so many people are talking about it, which is fantastic. You know, when we started this, you know, even Donna and I used to sing mantra music together, and, you know, at that, which we loved, and we is a form of meditation. And at that time, even then, 10, 12 years ago, it was still so much less general awareness than there is right now. You know, right now, meditation to me, you know, is a relatively household word. You know, most people who are interested have dabbled a little bit. So then the question becomes, you know, what's next? You know, what happens and why does it happen? You know, how can some people say, like, meditation helped me heal depression, and some people say, yeah, I'm a bit more like, you know, there's a big difference in terms of what people are claiming it helps them with. And so I don't think that it's that you haven't found the right technique necessarily. I think we need a little bit of philosophy, firstly, to understand, you know, how it can be so transformative. So I would propose a little bit of philosophy to understand, and then, you know, a little bit of examples of how this can actually happen. So first, philosophically, most people perceive themselves as I am having this experience. You know, I am sad, I am angry, I am whatever, I'm in pain of one kind or another. And what they don't perceive is that, you know, the individual, we are made up of so many of us. So I, Alyssa, am sitting here in front of my computer screen talking to you about meditation. You know, but simultaneously, there are other aspects of me that may be doing other things, you know, not because I'm mentally ill and have a split personality, because that's another thing people think when you tell them this. No, but because even in the most healthy people, there are so many different aspects of ourselves. And when we meditate, we get to see what's happening from what we call witness consciousness. So this is the muscle that gets trained to observe what's happening within the body mind as we're sitting and breathing. And that muscle, like anything else you exercise, you know, until you start using that muscle, most people don't have it. And so there's a kind of discernment that begins to happen when we start watching ourselves with an open curiosity, when there's a sensation in the body and we can observe it, be with it, inquire around and within it, you know, as though there's an aspect of ourselves that needs something, and that's being spoken through the mental or the physical symptom. So that is, when we start to perceive ourselves like that, then meditation becomes not actually the solution, but the tool with which to care for ourselves in the way we don't know that we need care, because the things that need care are repressed and being expressed through the symptoms. So I came to this work, you know, through practicing homeopathy. I'm trained as a homeopath. And I saw that people would come and tell me all their symptoms. And they may know that there's a little stress in their life or whatever, but they didn't really understand, like, what's under these symptoms. And that's where I began to focus. I became fascinated with all these people with, you know, and some of them similar patterns of symptoms, like what is under that is giving rise to this expression of symptoms. And so right there in the homeopathic consults, I started bringing in some of this somatic therapy to try and teach people to listen to their symptoms as though the symptoms are trying to talk to them, which is relatively simple if you have a random one-off symptom. But when you have a complex condition, and you know this may be going on for many years, it becomes very subtle and not so easy to listen. It's not just, oh, I don't eat gluten or don't eat, you know, sugar. It's so much more complicated. But the practice is the same, no matter where you're starting. You know, if you're a healthy person or you're in some sort of pain, disease, trauma, struggle, that for everybody, the process is learning to be with ourselves, with presence, with this witness consciousness, and with an acceptance of, well, this is where I am right now. And it's from that place of being able to actually be in our own discomfort and being able to hold space for that. That's a big topic, holding space. You know, lots of people have different ideas about how that works.
And I was going to add
you have lots to say.
Well, actually, I was going to add to the being with the discomfort, because I think a lot of people are perhaps scared to go there. And I think that's why many of us avoid therapy or avoid looking at our issues, because it can actually bring it up to the surface even more, right? Once you start facing it, it can actually intensify because it needs to be addressed. And I think that scares a lot of people. So what would you say to that? How would you address that, especially if someone is perhaps in quite acute pain, or if someone's dealing with a really chronic condition that they're kind of fed up with, in the sense that they've seen so many people to try and heal this, they're not finding answers.
Yes. So the question of how do we handle things that are intense with support,
yes,
is the answer in one context or another. And there's so many ways to get that support. But you know, there's a reason what is suppressed. At the time that it happened, we didn't have the resources to allow that emotion to move through us. So as we get stronger in our healthy adult self, we have the capacity to either participate in a group where there's a group holding, where there's, you know, a leader who's been through this, holding the people who are, you know, learning. You know, so you step into some kind of container where there's someone who has experience doing this type of work that, you know, can look you in the eye when you're scared and be there to trust that you will be able to go through it. And the other answer to how do we go through something that is intense is slowly. Slowly, gently. It doesn't come, doesn't need to come as a great explosion. Most people can't handle that. And the beautiful thing about the practice is just showing up, you know, bit by bit and trusting that we will strengthen enough to, and this is the part that I love the most, is, you know, as we learn to strengthen and connect to something greater than us and strengthen ourselves, we can bear witness to the pain that's within us without re-entering it. And that to me is such a significant distinction of how we can use meditation to heal trauma, because the trauma is stored in the body. So we need to access it through the body in order to relieve this matrix upon which all the symptoms are resting. We have to reintegrate these wounded parts that are hurt and that we don't even quite know because we are so habituated to it. But it isn't going to happen because the mind has so many protective layers. You know, those thoughts that distract you are also protecting you. So it's not going to bring you from day one, you know, into the heart of your deepest trauma. It will bring you to what you can handle. It might not always feel like that, but it will bring you to what you can handle, you know, on Monday and on Tuesday. And we just keep sitting and the process and the practice deepens.
I love how you describe that. Alyssa, I love that you take it back into the body. And I think when people see this title of the podcast, using, you know, meditation as medicine, can we take it a little further? Can we take it a little deeper in terms of what would you suggest? I know you've mentioned some first steps as to how someone could get into meditation as a practice for healing. What would be some of the guideposts along the way? Or I'm thinking specifically like in the practice of rapid transformational therapy that Danielle and I are trained in, we use a process called cell command therapy, where we can actually use the subconscious mind and very specific phrases and words specific to our clients' issues that can help to start heal them on a cellular level. How can you guide us into some of like a little bit more specific practices that you would use with clients or help guide people into what are some of the techniques that they can start to use to heal themselves on a physical level through meditation practice?
Well, I have a 10-minute meditation that I created for people who are just starting. I can share it with this video. It's for grounding and self-acceptance. And this is an interesting conundrum that people who are in pain of any kind, you know, most of their energy is caught in two places, like getting through their day, surviving with whatever is ailing them. And the other is getting out of whatever is ailing them. So they're either surviving or trying to get out. There's almost no time spent breathing into what is. And so the way through is actually through, not out. The way through is in. And that's not easy to tolerate when you're in a lot of discomfort. But what I have seen, and this, it's just 10 minutes, and it's 10 minutes of practicing simply being in the body as it is, you know, with whatever ails you. And acceptance of what is actually the first step that most people skip in being able to heal anything that's chronic. We need to come to a place of trusting that we've done the best we can. The body and mind and the choices that we made, even our bad choices, they were the best choices that we were capable of making in the moment that we made them. And so when we can see, not I made a mistake, not I was wrong, but I did the best I knew how to do. And now I'm learning and growing, and I'm going to make a different choice. And we have to trust. We don't have to, but this is how to heal. When we can come into trusting that everything we're suffering with makes sense. Nothing is happening to us by a random external force that has to be obliterated, which is how people perceive, you know, their medical care. Everybody that I've ever worked with, even with people with advanced neurological disease and really objective things wrong, you can always weave back through their story, through their life, through their childhood, and understand where their system became so overloaded that it began to slowly break down. And over time, it became these symptoms that got named as this syndrome that became this thing. But no matter what thing you have, or no matter what you're struggling with, that's where you are. That's the starting point. So to me, the practice of meditation at the beginning, you know, before we start talking about witness consciousness and getting into all the layers of how to help those wounded parts, the very first step is practicing, because it is a practice. We don't know how to do it. Practicing accepting ourselves and hearing the resistance and coming back to accepting that this is where I am, and accepting that this is where you are, as much as it's really hard to be there.
Wow. Thank you for this. Really precious. And I always tell my clients or our clients that change is pain. It's like going to the gym, and when you start building these muscles, you go through some pain until you make it, you make it to where you want to be.
I'm going to invite Alyssa back. I think it would be amazing to hear more from her. Danielle agrees. So Alyssa, we'd love to have you back.